hide on it.
Keep it where it is. Okay, we're going to call the April 8th, 2013 meeting of the Taney County Planning Commission to order. This is a public meeting. If you haven't signed up and you want to speak tonight, you'll need to sign one of these sheets for whatever topic you're talking on. I know there's one more person that came in after I picked up the sheets. Okay. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes. Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Now would you please explain the meeting procedures?
Okay, public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. For all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening, a staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, followed by any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment at the public hearing, you'll need to sign a sign-in sheet at the front here. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The regular meeting will be held 1 week from tonight's meeting, and at that time the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is also a public meeting. However, no additional public comments will be taken at that time unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, I guess it's on to the his house, bed, and breakfast.
Okay, I think we've got the state. Yes, state line.
State line first.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. State line gun range.
Okay. The case number is 2013-2. The applicant is Terry Filser. The project is the state line gun range. And this is just a map showing the location in relationship to the county. It's located at 1505 State Line Road, Kirbyville, Missouri, in the Scott Township, Section 2, Township 21, Range 20. The applicant, Terry Filser, is requesting approval of a Division 3 special use permit authorizing the development of an outdoor gun range. On July 19, 2006, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2006-33, which authorized the development of an automatic transmission business and also Class 2 NFA weapons manufacturing at the property located at 1505 State Line Road, Kirbyville, Missouri. We put together just a brief background on this. I wanted to give some background as far as what NFA weapons were. Basically, the ATF describes NFA weapons essentially refer to the Federal National Firearms Act, which was first adopted by Congress in 1934 and changed the way automatic weapons were to be dealt with in the United States. Over time, additional firearms legislation was passed affecting both automatic weapons and general sporting use firearms, each succeeding set of laws being more restrictive. The ATF basically describes NFA weapons in these six different categories. First, automatic weapons, short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, silencers, destructive devices, and any other weapon. Basically, then the Gun Control Act of 1968 was essentially the beginning of all of the current firearms regulations, and also created what they call a special occupational taxpayer, or SOT designation. Mr. Filzer is currently a Class 2 SOT holder, so he is a manufacturer of NFA weapons. Essentially, what the Firearms Owners Protection Act of 1986 made it illegal for an individual to take a semi-automatic rifle and convert it to an automatic gun or rifle, or to buy a newly manufactured automatic weapon, even by complying with the previous NFA requirements. And so essentially, at this point, automatic weapons are essentially just either sold between SOT holders, the government, or to police and sheriff's departments. Mr. Filzer currently holds a Type 7 federal firearms license, which is basically issued for the manufacturing of both Title 1 and Title 2 firearms and ammunition, so long as he obtains a Class 3 tax stamp. This license also allows for the applicant to act as a dealer of firearms and ammunition. However, a Type 7 license does not allow for the manufacturing or dealing in destructive devices, ammunition for destructive devices, or armor-piercing ammunition. The ATF licensing procedure requires an authorizing signature by the chief law enforcement officer, which in the case of the county would be the county sheriff. The applicant has provided the planning department with a copy of both his ATF federal firearms license and also his ATF receipt of payment of special occupational tax. The general description on this, it's an approximately 5-acre subject property, again located at 1505 State Line Road, Kirbyville, Missouri. It contains an existing 7,812 square foot building, per the assessor's information, that's currently utilized for both the affordable transmission specialists and also Class 2 NFA weapons manufacturing. General description of what's proposed here: the applicant is requesting the approval of a Division 3 special use permit authorizing the development of an outdoor gun range. The applicant has indicated that the gun range will be operated primarily based upon a membership in a gun club, but will also allow patrons to pay an individual fee for a given time frame of use. The gun range will allow for patrons to either provide their own firearms, or guns will also be available for rent. The range will allow for the firing of pistols and rifles, both automatic and semi-automatic. The applicant has stated that fully automatic weapons will not be rented. Only those patrons providing the applicant with a copy of the appropriate federal firearms license will be allowed to fire their own personal automatic weapons on site. And this is a photo below, or a couple of photos. The applicant has constructed permanent gun stands that are anchored in concrete, and they're to provide a permanent base for fixtures that have been designed specifically to hold automatic weapons. The applicant has indicated that patrons will only be allowed to fire automatic weapons if said firearms are affixed to these bases via the fixtures that he would provide. The proposed gun range, from my understanding, the hours of operation would be 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday. Just to give you kind of a brief idea, this would be the area with the targets, essentially. Of course, he would be shooting into this, you know, applicants or clients would be shooting into basically this area. The applicant has indicated that he will establish a gun range backstop behind the targets through the establishment of both an earthen berm and also a ballistics barrier provided via a company called Defense Cell. The ballistics barriers provided by Defense Cell have been utilized primarily for military ranges. This is just a photo that the staff obtained from that company's website, and they basically from my understanding, are plastic structures that fit together that are filled with sand, essentially, and are used at a number of outdoor ranges. And we've got a few views of the property in question. This is a north view, but we've also got kind of an extended view. This would essentially be the properties adjacent on the Arkansas side of the line. And then we've got a south view, probably the closest properties to the south would really be the Prayer Mountain properties here.
That south or north?
That was facing, or north, I'm sorry, I apologize. In review, the proposed gun range will be located immediately north of the existing automatic transmission business. The proposed gun stalls will face to the north, but the nearest existing structure located to the north of the proposed gun range is a cabin utilized by Prayer Mountain Ministries, which is located approximately 1,100 feet from the location of the proposed gun stalls. The applicant has indicated that both a protective ballistics barrier and an earthen berm will be established as a backstop between the targets and the Prayer Mountain cabins to the north. The applicant has further indicated that the ballistics barrier will ensure that projectiles do not leave the property and will allow for the management of lead. The defense cell website claims that defense cell systems allow rapid construction and significantly higher levels of defense structure protection than earth berms. However, according to the publication Baffles, Berms, and Backstops by David Luke, range technical team advisor for the NRA, he's basically saying that a minimum of a 15-foot backstop is acceptable, but 20 to 25 feet is recommended. However, the publication does go on to say that backstops and side berms do not remove the requirement to include a safety fan. And they basically refer to a safety fan as describing a controlled area utilized to prevent injury in the event of an accidental discharge. Therefore, due to the lengthy distance that a projectile could potentially travel and uncertainty regarding the proposed height of the backstop, the staff is really recommending that the applicant provide detailed engineering plans for the gun range area, indicating the specific best management practices and safety considerations being incorporated into the design, really ensuring compliance with all applicable minimum safety recommendations found within the 2012 NRA range source book. And what the staff has really found in our research is that a number of state and local laws and regulations are basically encouraging ranges to at least comply with the NRA range safety standards. I guess they have had a set of standards in place for a number of years, and the staff's really highly recommending that we ensure that the range meet those minimum standards. Basically, another recommendation, the staff's recommending that noise from the site would be minimized with the installation of large earthen berms along both the east and west sides of the range. The staff's really recommending that earthen berms of at least 15 feet in height be installed along both the eastern and western boundary of the gun range area in order to muffle a portion of the sound leaving the site. However, again, more complete sound mitigations may be dictated by the engineer if engineering were required on this. The applicant has indicated that activity within the fenced gun stall area will be closely monitored by an on-site range master. Each of the gun stalls will be roofed in order to provide some shelter for customers. The applicant is proposing to utilize the existing parking area to serve both the existing automatic transmission business and the proposed gun range. The parking provisions of the Development Guidance Code don't really address the specific use, And so it could be in the future that the parking area may need to be expanded as the use expands. Again, the adjoining property immediately to the north, south, east, and west is agricultural. However, the Prayer Mountain Ministry is located just a little further to the north, and there is light residential located further to the south and east. The project received a score of negative 27 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 65. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of road right-of-way width, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, off-site nuisances, use compatibility, utilities, and mixed-use development. The staff recommendations on this: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: detailed engineering plans, basically the entire gun range area, indicating the specific best management practices and safety considerations being incorporated into the design, ensuring compliance with all applicable minimum safety recommendations found within the 2012 NRA range sources source book, B, a sediment and erosion control, and C, a land grading permit if the land grading activities exceed 1 acre. Second, compliance letters from the fire district, sheriff's department, the on-site wastewater permitting division of the planning department, and the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Third, the state line gun range shall be viewed as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any other future land use change applications. The applicant shall establish a protective barrier behind the targets through the establishment of both an earthen berm and a ballistics barrier, either meeting or exceeding the recommendations for ballistics barriers. Barrier design is found within the 2012 NRA range source book and is indicated on the submitted engineering plans. 5 earthen berms of at least 15 feet in height shall be installed along both the eastern and western boundary of the gun range area in order to muffle a portion of the sound leaving the site, or other sound mitigation measures shall be implemented as dictated within the submitted engineering plans. 6, patrons of the state line gun range shall only be allowed to fire fully automatic weapons if said firearms are affixed to permanent bases via fixtures provided by the applicant. 7, only those patrons providing a copy of the appropriate FFL shall be allowed to fire their own personal automatic weapons on site. Number 8, the shooting range hours of operation shall be 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Number 9, the applicant shall provide proof of liability insurance to the Taney County Planning Department prior to opening day of operation. 10, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 11, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 12, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures within the development. 13, the applicant shall indemnify and defend the County of Taney, its officers, employees, and designated agents against the payment of any and all costs incurred resulting from any third-party claims, causes of action, lawsuits, and liability arising out of any approval or decision on the proposed project. And 14, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've put together, sorry about that. We've got a few videos of the site. This is this is really along State Line Road as you would enter into the property. And just did a really quick 360 there. And this is the existing transmission business. And the gun range is essentially right through here in relationship. And then we've got one last, just quick video of the...
Can't hear you.
Sorry, got one last video of the gun range site. These are the fixtures that have been mounted in concrete or the stands. And it's my understanding that the ballistics barrier would essentially be in this area.
We have a representative, is Terry Filcher here. Sir, would you come on up? We might have a few questions for you, and then I'll let the public speak after that.
I don't know what's best.
One of my concerns is that the automatic weapons should, I know that's not going to be a lot of your business either.
No, sir.
But what is this fixture they're going to be on? Is it like at the carnival where you can't raise the gun up and down?
Yeah, if I stop production or building of this till we got finished with what we're doing here. But if you go back to the range itself.
Sorry, wrong way here.
The fixture, those four or five that you see there are the beginning of a steel platform, which should be have a wood table. The anybody that brought out an automatic weapon, the fixture would be bolted to that stand. Only 30 degree or less elevation upward, left to right. They would be physically chained down for any accidental mishaps.
Therefore, it would not be allowed to be able to shoot over a 15-foot brim from that distance?
They would be mounted and bolted down, correct.
So they couldn't go above that distance?
No, sir.
And one more question. What is the distance between where you're actually firing and where your targets are going to be?
The distance between the range of the line to the berm, I would assume, I don't know the exact feet, but I would say it's 200 feet.
200 feet.
It might be 200 yards. I don't know exact. I didn't measure anything. I stopped before I got any farther.
Okay, and one more question. I'm not very up on gun ranges and whatever, but how does this compare with the county facilities now that the Sheriff's Department uses?
I'm actually going to be above and beyond county facilities. I'm trying to let the county use in the police department and Forsyth and Hollister and Branson. They're waiting for me to finish this. So basically, I'm trying to comply with all NFA, NRA, rules and regulations, so to speak. I'm trying to above and beyond that.
Okay. I'm sure for liability purposes.
Correct.
Does the commission have any questions for Terry?
I'm concerned about the degree of angle that the automatic weapons can fire. 15 degrees seems like a lot at that kind of range.
15 degrees is a lot from standing at the range, and then we're also considering a tube, which I've also talked to Big Cedar on shooting through as far as sound and shooting through a tube, and that only, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's, I think, a 5-degree.
Yeah.
And I think I might bring it back down to that 5-degree, so you have to put the weapon through the tube,
right,
and your range is, your sight of vision is down at the target. So basically, yes, it, 15 degrees is a lot. So it, you're probably looking at about a 5-degree up or down, left to right, because you'll have to shoot through this tube.
Right.
And from my understanding, from what I was talking to range that's being built over there, that anything 30 caliber below isn't subject to this tube. Anything 30 caliber and above has to shoot through this 36-inch tube, which is 10 feet long, which, if I'm not mistaken, is only a 5-degree up or down, left to right. So you have to put your weapon inside this tube. It's more for muffling, or it's like a giant suppressor, from
right,
what I understand.
We don't have anything stated in the paperwork that we need to definitely have the tube or whatever this silencer is, and we need to do that, I think.
I'm basically basing it off of what I've heard from Big Cedar on what Mr. Morris is doing over there, and I have a friend that works there that is helping construct that range, and I kind of picked his brain a little bit and said, okay, if we have a sound issue, what's the procedure to muffle these weapons? And that's what he told me that was required by Taney County.
Well, I think we have a lot more distance than 1,100 feet at the Big Cedar location to the next structure.
Yeah.
One more question for you. From looking at the maps there, it looks like that the only structure that would be in line of fire somewhat would be the Prayer Mountain, and it is not really directly.
If no, it's farther to
north,
the left.
It's more like north, what, east, is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, so you actually would have nothing but woods and a road, I might add.
Well,
that would be in line of fire should, and we all know that these bullets travel a mile.
Sure.
Well, I would say probably the closest structure, there are a few cabins in this area, and that would actually, that's where I measured the 1,100, and that's an approximate measurement. I was just utilizing
they are directly behind what we're proposing as the burn.
But there are cabins in this area.
Now, which direction is the land slope there? Is it basically a hilltop level, or is it going downhill or uphill?
It's downhill. Like
it's going downhill.
It's downhill.
But basically,
should be more directed towards the dirt. I mean, as the geographics go, you're going to be shooting into a negative pitch to begin with. But I'm just going higher than just because I want to do that.
And now in your statement here that you're going to have, there will be somebody always, when somebody's shooting out there, there'll be somebody
absolutely
controlling the situation.
Absolutely. There'll be a range master on site whenever that range is open. That's Devin. It's my range master here. Come on up, Devin.
Yeah. Come up. Okay, let's see. Questions. I guess that's all the questions I had. The one other one was this word primarily, and the applicant has indicated that the gun range will be operated primarily based upon membership. It'll be open completely to the public.
Guests and visitors will be allowed during periods,
okay,
which means if we've got a weekend coming up that's a holiday weekend, for example, when folks will be out and about, we will open it up for guests, but they're going to be required to sign in and present ID to verify identity prior to utilizing the range.
Okay. Any more questions from the commission to the applicant?
Well, I have something for Bob. Don't we have available mapping with contour lines on it now?
We do. And I
want to see one of those. Is not for everybody else. I just want to see one of those before.
Okay.
Next week.
Okay. And I could definitely.
And I'll get with y'all.
Okay.
I would like to see that. I think everybody here would like to see that.
Probably. Yeah.
I have a question. You say you're going to have people with proper IDs. Are you going to be able to identify convicted felons that don't need to be firing off any weapons?
As far as doing background checks on every person that comes through,
yeah.
if they present the proper ID, that's, can I run a check on every person that checks in? Probably not.
The only way that can be done is through a standard NICS background check. And NICS is very, ATF and FBI are very specific on times when they allow that to happen. You can only run it currently when it's pursuant to a firearms transfer.
And if the individual that comes with a firearm to the range and has proper ID and I log them in, I have registration of that person coming in, and if he's illegal or something down the road comes, I can go back to my records and pull it up for state police or locals, whoever I need to. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you talked to the Sheriff's Department about this? About, according to this, you're going to have to be signed off by Jimmy Russell.
As far as a range, I don't believe ATF has not required me to have a sheriff sign off on a range. Does Mr. Russell know what I do and have? Yes, he's fully aware of what's going on.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, sir, we might need to talk to you guys again, but
sure.
We're going to let the public speak now.
Okay.
And first up would be Terry Brim. Brim?
Brim. Yes, we've been out there for almost 20 years. And in our bylaws, we are a church, we are a school, we are a Christian retreat. At times, we have over 1,000 people there walking trails. In fact, later on this month, I'm going to have a school bus of kids from 3 to 10 years old. We've been doing this, like I said, for almost 20 years. We've heard the gunfire there. Everybody knows about it. I think everybody here can witness what that's like. To me, it's like being in Vietnam. We've had some there, that automatic type machine guns. We've got cabins, you're right. Right there.
We've got a laser pointer too,
right around here. This is our cabin access road. We come out here. He'll be firing hard weapons right in here.
Sir, does Prayer Mountain own all that land?
Yes, sir. We've got 58 acres that we just bought off his father that encompass in this area. It goes from what I can see, it goes from here all the way back up. You don't have it all on there.
But it doesn't actually touch the 5 acres that we're talking about here?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Where's the... Where's all your trails you're talking about, walking trails?
Oh, they hike up here. They'll go up here to the lake and stuff, and then when they come up here, just different people do different things when they come out there.
Where's the trails, though?
Are there any designated trails?
No, they're not like designated trails.
And how often does it happen?
That they go out there?
No, you do have people there.
How often? Every day.
You have 1,000 people out there?
No, once a year we have over 2,000 people.
Once a year?
Once a year.
What is that time frame?
That's usually the 1st of November.
For how many days?
One day.
One day. Okay.
But we have classes there and schools, meetings, at least 2 days a week, and then we have employees there 20 And then we have people stay at our cabins, and that's constantly.
How many people is that?
That are there?
Right.
Approximately about 20 a day.
Okay. About every day?
Every day. And, of course, I live there. I have a 3-year-old and a wife.
Okay. And where is your house located from that location?
Right here.
How far would you guess that from the range?
Probably 2,000 feet. I don't.
We can figure that out.
Probably pretty close.
Mm-hmm. That's not far off.
Yeah, that's probably fairly close because.
Yeah, and we're also at Taney County Fire Station, Station 11.
Right.
It's right there. Do you have anything to say, Tony?
Yeah.
Or you guys call them up, right?
Okay, you too, sir?
Yeah.
Do we have any questions for him?
I want to go back on the trail deal. When they're off down in there walking, what would you think would be the closest they would be to this range?
Could be right up there.
Well, they'd be pretty close because I think, can you, is that one right there? Yeah, they could be up there. There's a fence right there, about 40 feet from that cabin that divides the land. So that's how close it'd be. You could actually have people right there.
And that's where you were figuring the 1,100, Bob?
Yeah, I just literally went. It's a little hard to see, but I just literally went from this area to the nearest cabin.
Okay.
How many feet was it, Bob?
About 1,100. And that was... That was using the measuring tool on the GIS system. So
it gets pretty close.
But it gets you fairly close.
Yeah, it won't miss it far.
325 yards. No, a little more than that. 1,100, you said?
No. We're not anti-gun at all. We love guns. We wouldn't be having this meeting if it wasn't for guns. We believe it bought our freedom. But there's a place and a time for everything, and I don't think these two mix.
Any more questions for Terry? Okay. Thank you, sir. Tony Cruxon.
Here's the topographical map. What's that? No, not usually. This is the topographical map, and this is the neighborhood map.
Yeah.
And if you'll notice, the property that our cabins are located on are approximately on the same level. It drops off into a valley, but we could be a little bit higher than what the gun range is, but it looks like they're going to be shooting right down into our yards for our cabins.
This is exactly what I was referring to.
Yeah. And the trajectory, you know, I'm a rifle bullet, it isn't unheard of it for going a mile. You know, I know the hills and the Ozarks are prohibit that usually, but from this point to that point, there's no doubt that a bullet can reach those cabins, every one of them. There's no doubt because of the elevation. If you look at the elevations, the bullets from this property can reach the administrative building. There's open area between two of the properties there. And because of the fall of the land, just being off just a couple of degrees, that bullet's going to be flying over top of the trees and into those cabins. And I don't know how much background you guys do on individuals that run these type of gun ranges, but on the application, he listed the surrounding properties to be commercial property. This is a church and a school. It's not commercial property. I don't know what the purpose of listing that was, but he's well aware of the surrounding areas there. And that's my understanding that it was listed as a commercial property. There's another thing in the NRA guidelines. They suggest a minimum of 41 acres to accommodate a gun range, and this is 5 acres or less. And so he said he was indicated that he's going to go by the NRA regulations, and I think that that would be appropriate. But the NRA suggests that the berms be 20 to 25 feet. Well, even at 20 to 25 feet, these cabins will be above that, and if they, you know, there's no guarantee they're going to be shooting through these tubes. I've done some background check on this individual, and he does have a criminal background, and I think that the board needs to look into that. We're not trying to make bad neighbors, but we just need to have safety for our individuals. Terry went into the different meetings. Twice a week, we have approximately 100 to 200 people on the property. And they're, like you said, they're out before and after our meetings. They're out walking this area because it's a very tranquil, peaceful place. It's called Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and people do two types of activities here. Individual prayer, and that's in the cabins and just out on the land. And there's what we call corporate prayer, and that's where you get together in groups. You know, we range from 20 to 200 people every week. And so the prayer meetings are usually from 11:30 on Wednesday to approximately 3, 4 o'clock, and that's during one of the times that he said it'll be open for business. The other prayer meeting is on Sundays from 3, and we go off into 7 p.m. But the main concern is the prayer cabin area. It's in the right direct line of fire of his range. And I guess if he was really concerned about safety, I would reverse the range and shoot towards his building. Put the berm right beside the building and put the shooting stands on the other end of the property and shoot towards his building.
And would that be uphill from there? This might not be big enough. Okay, there's practically about 9,000 here. That's about level. Maybe a little bit uphill, yeah. 44, 28, 24. Yeah, be basically level or slightly uphill. It might be a possibility.
Let me ask you this question. If that were changed, would that affect your opinion of the project?
Well, in my opinion, it's not a proper location next to a school and a church. We have a new school that's just been established that young kids are going to be on the property. It won't be a weekly or a daily activity, but 3-year-olds to, what's the top age? To 10-year-olds are going to be on the property at least once a month, and they're going to be there for the whole day, and it just doesn't seem like an appropriate mix. There's other properties in this county that are better suited. If you look at the county gun ranges or the Department of Conservation gun range, one of them up at Buzik is in a canyon. I believe it's a quarry, and it's got a rock backstop. You know, it's surrounded by rock excavation, and it's not around buildings or homes or churches or schools. And we don't have anything against him personally. We just want to make sure our people are safe.
But what I was asking, in other words, and you answered my question, I think, in a roundabout way, that wouldn't change your feelings on the project if he changed the direction of the range.
No, it wouldn't. But if he's really concerned about his neighboring properties, I would shoot towards my own home or my own business rather than shooting towards cabins of people that... The main thing is these people are unsuspecting that there's people shooting automatic weapons. We have the right to bear arms in this country, but fully automatic weapons that are being used on this property are not legal everywhere in the United States. They have to be you have to have a special permit, and they have to be in a special location.
What if that was deleted out of the project, the automatic weapons being able to be shooting daily? And if we set it to just a particular day, would that change your thing?
Well, I think it's still the same concern. We have people in these cabins, and they're not rented 100% of the time, but they are rent Monday through Sunday, and we don't know exactly when they will be rented out. And I think that fully automatic weapons that close to a densely populated area, it's not continually densely populated, but sporadically and pretty routinely it is. And that's the main concern that we have. And obviously accommodations can be made, but the noise that comes from this already without having a gun range on it is particularly disturbing, especially during prayer time. And the only time that most of the people that have experienced the gun noise is during the prayer times. And you can hear it sounds like a war zone. Sounds like you're in Vietnam. You know, the movies that you see, I wasn't obviously in Vietnam. I think that the NRA is that the plans that they have in place are a good place to start, but it's still, that needs to be, the location isn't addressed there. And they mentioned that they should be away from high traffic areas, and our property doesn't qualify it any way you look at it, the use of our property. And we've been on that property since 1995, and I don't believe he's been in his property, so even if you grandfathered in a use, it wouldn't qualify for a grandfathered use. I don't know how this applies to a rifle range, but a skeet field, they need to have at least 600 yards, and that's 1,800 feet from where they're shooting, to be a safety zone for that. And obviously, skeet, you're shooting higher in the air, but there's really no control. We don't have any control over how they're shooting the guns on that property. And the 15-foot berms that are on this property for sound deadening purposes really will have very little effect, because the prayer mountain, if you look at the elevation of the, this is the administration building right here. This is the firehouse, and these are the cabins. And if the berms are here, this property is higher. It's up on a higher plateau. And that sound's going to carry right across there. The 15-foot berms are going to do very little to muffle the sound. A lot of these type of ranges are built indoors. You know, they build a complete structure. There's one of them up at Ozark, and it's completely indoors for the purpose of containing the sound. And that's as disturbing as the, obviously it isn't as deadly as the fire coming into the camps, but the sound. And these are tranquil prayer cabins. That's all we let people use them for, is prayer. And it'll directly impact the specific use that's been in place since 1995. And I think that's all I have right now, unless you have more questions.
Any questions for the gentleman? Jim Lanzo? And Jim, to keep this a little briefer, if there's stuff that he's already covered.
Yes, I'll be brief. Again, my name's Jim Lanzo. I'm from Kimberling City. I'm a friend of the ministry. I've been a friend of the ministry since 1993. And I've walked much of this land, and I'm a volunteer there twice a week. So my concern is that I know they bought some additional land because they're going to build some additional cabins. And I'm familiar with automatic weapons. I've shot them, and it's true, you can't control them. They just go high. But I know they were talking about restrictions. But my point is, forget about a thousand yards or whatever it is, whatever the distance is. 22 can go a mile and a half, and some of the 30 calibers that I have, 338 caliber can go, you know, 3.5 miles. So my concern is there are always accidents. I know many police officers who have told me many stories and of accidents of policemen who are versed with weapons, and everybody makes mistakes from time to time. So my concern is that somebody shoots over the berm accidentally, and it's just like driving. People are supposed to do drive a certain way, but some people get careless. They're ignorant, or they accidentally make a mistake, and everybody makes mistakes no matter how proficient they are. So my concern is that somebody can accidentally shoot over the berm and, cause damage. So I just came here as a friend, and I'm concerned. I walked down to the water to Bull Shoals Lake and past the cabins, and there are many women that take a walk down there with the dogs during the daytime, workers, and there are more people that are going to be coming there because they bought extra land so they can build some more cabins, because they have flat land now, more flat land, so they're going to build more cabins. But thank you for the time.
I believe that's Robert Young.
My name is Robert Young, and I work in those cabins with my wife, Susiana. We're down there on a regular basis. We've been with Billy Brim Ministries off and on since 2005. I'm very concerned about my wife being down there. I'm retired military, U.S. Army, 23 years. I know what it's like to be in a war zone. I know what it sounds like. I know what it feels like. And it's not a comfortable feeling. And anybody that's been there doesn't want to be there again, unless they have to be. And if you haven't been there, you cannot explain it. It's not something that you can really explain. Being a part of that location out there and working out there like that, I don't know what the ground structure is out there. I'm a retired engineer. But I do know this much, that it's a tranquil place down in there. And when you go down inside those cabins, it turns into a whole different world for a person that's been under stress. It's had a lot of stress in their time from ministry work or somebody just trying to get away from the world. And when they move down, come in and go down to those areas, they're looking for a peaceful location so they can release themselves and get away from reality for a little while and face some real active life in the country. And that's what I thought the Ozarks was about. I thought the Ozarks, that's one of the reasons I moved from here. I retired out of Fort Leonard Wood in 1991, and I moved right after, last year I moved up here in August. And that's one of the things I was looking forward to, getting up in the Ozark Mountains, getting in a peaceful location. My main thing is here, I don't think it's a safe area for automatic weapons to be fired. I don't have a comfortable feeling with automatic weapons being fired that close to any location where I've got my family, my wife, or children, or anyone else that's a walking, living human being that has an opportunity to be shot by accident. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Can't read the first name. I believe it's Wilson. What is that? Whoever signed up after Mr. Young, W-I-L, it looks like a S-E-N or S-O-N.
Something with a Y on the very end, looks like.
Somebody left earlier.
Okay, I'll call the other people's name, and if everybody that signed up did not speak, that would be that person. Okay, now Gene Lanzo.
My husband just spoke to you and expressed all my feelings. We've been with the ministry for since 1993, and it has expanded and it has.
Can you adjust the mic a little bit? We can't hear.
It has expanded and it's growing, and it is a place that's become known around the world. The programs that are streamed live all around the world. We have people coming from all over the world, from Russia, from all different kinds of countries, from India, from just to come because they're coming for the prayer and for the peace and for the time that they go and take away and they are refreshed. And then we have seminars sometimes in every year. We've had seminars where other than in the fall, in the summertime or June or July, we put up a tent, and there are several hundred, maybe 300 people come to that. And we just are looking forward to it expanding because it has been expanding over all the years. So I look forward to it growing, but it but I know that the sound of automatic weapons going off all the time would not be a tranquil place. And this is the whole purpose that Prayer Mountain is what it is and where it was purchased to be. So I just, you know, would pray that you'd take that all into consideration. Thank you.
John Simpers.
Well, it seems kind of odd for me to be up here saying something about it, being I'm covering it for the newspaper. But my name is John Simpers. I was an Army helicopter pilot and a military police major. And the reason I think they wanted me to say something about it was ricochets. I've never fired an automatic weapon that did not hit a rock, did not hit something, that the bullet went. That's what concerns me. Now, Terry Felcher is my automatic transmission guy. I've known him for quite a long time, and I've been associated with Prayer Mountain since 1997. And to be honest with you, that fire station started right there because Terry Brim and I started it. It was Prayer Mountain and the Ozarks Fire Station until Western Tana County asked us to be a part of them, which we did. And I'm now the assistant fire chief in Omaha, Arkansas. I just retired as the chief because I didn't want to do any more paperwork as chief. So, but I don't know about how Terry has this gun range set up exactly. If it's pointing there, there's cabin 3, there's cabin 2, and there's cabin 1, all in that loop there and coming around here. And the next property over this side is belongs to Virgil Dickey. And talk about people that do walk through the woods. My wife and I, when we first came here, we walked everywhere around there. We walked up around the edges here, and now Prayer Mountain owns all that. And the only thing that worries me, they've already expressed noise. What worries me is ricochets, and he may have that taken care of, but I've never seen it taken care of. I've fired from 50 calibers to, I was a Cobra pilot firing miniguns, and they went everywhere. You hit the ground, and off they go. If they hit a rock, and I don't know if you've ever seen the video of a guy shooting at the range with a 50 caliber, he shot at the target, it came back, and it ripped his headphone off. Considerations, you know, about what it's made, what the range is made of. And as far as the noise goes, I can hear it from my house. It's far enough away. It doesn't bother me personally. I am a Vietnam vet twice. But over here, during prayer or something like that, it's very distracting to these people. And the people praying in the cabins, we had people coming. One survivor didn't get on an airplane with a evangelistic tour, and the plane crash killed everybody. And he went to cabin 3 for about 2 weeks just to be quiet and pray. And that's all I have to say. It's just what worried me was ricochets and noise for those folks, because I do Billy's security in the evenings. I'll walk around or drive around the cabins. So anyways, thank you.
Has everybody spoke that signed up for this?
You got me down?
We can't. It's,
can't read my writing?
Spoke to print.
Am I up?
Yeah, yes, you must be the last one.
Are you a doctor?
And what is your name, sir?
Lou. Lou Phillips.
Lou, it looks like Lou, yeah.
I'm Terry's dad.
Are you a doctor?
Of law, okay. Not of medicine. Where did you get that idea? Do I look like a doctor? Oh my! All right, you got me there. The only thing, I'm here for information. I'm trying to understand what my son is doing, and there's a good presentation that he made from what the NRA seems to be the standard, and I understand that maybe you don't have a standard of some kind, and you're searching for that, and may use NRAs. But there was a proposal, and my point is basically this. There was a proposal made that the gun shooting should be turned around. Well, we don't show state line, and that's at the bottom. Do you have state line?
Yeah.
Well, there might be some houses, if you notice.
And there they are. And a number of other houses that might be in line.
So I would suggest, if you're thinking of changing that around, look at the
territory just across the state line. I happen to live on the Arkansas side, and I didn't know whether anybody's going to show up from Arkansas. But we don't get notices, as you probably are aware of. But I would suggest that you really consider reversing the direction on that. That's all I have to offer.
Terry Folcher. Okay. Terry, would you come back up for just a moment? One of the commission has a question for you.
Bob, would you bring up what he's proposed shooting range is?
Are you wanting this one? Or?
Yeah, that's fine. Terry, you're going to, could you turn it to the right?
Sure.
Where it's facing. That land back behind there?
Virgil Dickey owns that land, sir.
Would it be any possibility?
I don't.
Sandy Arnell owns the property behind it. Virgil Dickey owns the property behind
it. I don't know what. Sandy and Sam Yarnell own the 5 acres or 35 behind me, which I was going to purchase. I don't know if I have the permission to purchase it or not, but if I own that, it would be directly behind where the range is at.
Okay. Now, the field back past that, I was talking about turning.
Where the water, where the two ponds are, yeah. Is that the direction you're talking about?
I'm going to turn it to the right.
To the right of?
Where the timber is towards the other field.
Between back those two east. Big cedar
yes.
trees. Back to
that, the east. That area here, you're talking about going this way, correct? Or this way?
No, right. To the right.
Between the two cedar trees.
Okay. That would be this direction.
That elevation is the same. It'd be shooting right in straight across the elevation.
I want to purchase from my sister this whole area right here. That's the 35 she owns. From here all the way across, all the way in back, all the way down, all the way to this road. I own on the Arkansas side this back here. But the direction of fire is not an issue. I'm trying to get it to figure out where, if it's okay to put the range. And you're all talking about automatic weapons like I'm going to fire every day of the week. No, that's a mistake. But I'm not going to go into that issue right now. So the direction of the range is not that critical at this point. As far as I'm concerned, no. Which direction it goes is not an issue.
That's the only question I have.
No.
Have you had a cost estimate put together on building these berms? I mean, I was.
I started to get the cost from Defense Cell. We've gotten about, don't hold me this, for about $10,000 for the defense wall.
That'd be good. It's a lot of dirt.
And it's not dirt, it's sand.
And here's the parcels he was referring to. This would be the 5 acres here, and this would be the 35. I apologize for whatever reason.
I thought we saw that the other night.
On the other aerial,
that would be correct. That's the 40 that would complete that whole parcel. And Virgil Dickey's is the next parcel towards the lake, that one.
I have no more questions.
Any other questions? Terry? Okay, thank you, Terry.
Okay.
Okay.
Hearing on this
yes,
project, Rick?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Up next is the His House Bed and Breakfast.
Good
The people that were just here for this, or you're welcome to go or stay or whatever you want to do. It's a public meeting.
Okay. This is case number 2013-3. The project is His House Bed and Breakfast. The applicant is Gary and Norma Smalley. The representatives are Charles and Brenda Lemoyne. And this is the approximate location of the property in relationship to the county. Okay. The
folks, yeah. Let's clear the room, please. Thank you.
The property is located at 1482 Lakeshore Drive in the Scott Township, Section 28, Township 23, Range 21.
Excuse me, sir. Would you go on outside and talk to him, please?
The representatives, Charles and Brenda Lemoyne, are requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to convert an existing Victorian-style home structure utilized as an office with warehouse space to a bread and breakfast facility. Just the brief background and history on this. On June 19, 1995, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 1995-26, authorizing the construction of a structure with the appearance of a Victorian-style home, which was to act as the office with warehouse space for today's family, a family counseling agency. This approval allowed for the expansion and relocation of today's family from 1483 Lakeshore Drive to basically right across the street to 1482 Lakeshore Drive. Since that time, the property has continued to act as the office for the Smalley Relationship Center. The current application was approved for concept on March 18th of this year. The subject property contains an approximately 5,075 square foot structure located again at 1482 Lakeshore Drive, Branson, Missouri, formerly utilized as the Smalley Relationships Center office with warehouse space as well. The representatives are requesting to utilize the existing Victorian style home structure, formerly utilized as an office with warehouse space, as now a 7-bedroom bed and breakfast facility. The facility is listed currently on the multiple listing services as currently having 17 office rooms, 5 bathrooms, fully eat-in kitchen, 2 fireplaces, 3 conference rooms, and over 1,000 square feet of warehouse space. The adjoining property immediately to the north is Dulos Ministries. The adjoining property to the south and east is Kids Across America office. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is Lakeshore Drive, 2 residences, and of course, Kanakuk as well. And we've got just a few photos here from the north, south, east, and west. In review, per the bed and breakfast provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, no more than 4 guest bedrooms can be provided under the special use permitting process. Of course, the representatives have indicated that they are wishing to convert the existing structure to a 7-bedroom bed and breakfast facility. Therefore, per these provisions, this application would have to be viewed as a Division 3 commercial request. Since the application is to be viewed as a Division 3 commercial request, the permit will be transferable upon a change of ownership and can actually be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future Division 3 applications. The exterior appearance of the Victorian-style home structure will remain the same. The staff is recommending that the newly adopted occupancy standards for nightly rental be applied to this proposed bed and breakfast facility. And basically, per those provisions, the maximum occupancy for a nightly rental would be 2 persons per dwelling unit, excuse me, plus 2 persons per bedroom. And therefore, with this proposal, we would be looking at 14 guests.
Wouldn't that be 16?
plus the two, who would own and operate the bed and breakfast, for a total of 16. The property is currently served by a private well and public sewer service via the Taney County Regional Sewer District. The residence is in compliance with the setback requirements, and per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, parking for a bed and breakfast, basically it requires two off-street parking spaces plus one additional off-street parking space per lodging room provided, and we'd be looking at about a total of 9 parking spaces, and the existing parking area basically includes that large garage, circle drive, and they also have a shared lot that they share with the Kids Across America office property. And so between all that, they'll exceed the 9 parking spaces. Per the buffering provisions of the Development Guidance Code, buffering would basically not be required because there are no existing residences immediately adjoining the property in question. The project received a total score of -6 on the policy checklist. Out of a maximum possible score of 53, the relative policies receiving a negative score consists of right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, and utilities. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Taney County Assessor's Office, the Missouri Department of Revenue, the Taney County Regional Sewer District, and the Taney County Health Department, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. A valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department prior to the issuance of a certificate of compliance. A no tax due letter from the Missouri Department of Revenue shall be submitted to the Planning Department office annually, indicating that the sales taxes have been paid. Fourth, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Fifth, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Sixth, the bed and breakfast facility shall accommodate or sleep no more than 16 persons per night, with basically 14 residents and the two owners/operators. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. And seventh, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a brief video here of the site. And just did a quick 360 here to show the adjoining area.
I've got one question for staff here.
Okay.
If they already have a Division 3 permit, isn't it already commercial?
Well, normally they're seeking approval for a specific use or a change of use currently under our current regs. It was approved for office.
In my mind, when it came up before, I didn't. I know my personal way of thinking of it, that it didn't impact the neighborhood because there wasn't anything going to be, new people in and out every night and stuff like that. And I know I voted for it on the change, but I guess my question is now, if we have to make up our mind how much this impacts the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Nightly rental.
Yeah.
And I can address it. I was in charge of construction in 1994 when this was built. And it was built with the intent, and even the interior walls were built for bed and breakfast at that time. And I brought it before the board at that particular time in 95 when it was approved, even making the statement in the future it could be converted to a bed and breakfast very easily with minimum construction. I will make a correction, too, here, though, as far as that shared parking, it's the other entity that is parking on this property. So I want to make sure that that available parking would be limited in regards to those particular parking places. They're more than ample parking. In addition to, it was stated in the concept that there were seven bedrooms currently, and the request is for there is enough for 11 without changing any, adding anything on interior-wise. It would be, I've been talking about exterior-wise, with reconstruction, the way the bathrooms are set up, common walls for that bathroom to split a bath. It's already plumbed for that purpose during construction. So, like I said, ideally it is best suited for that, but I'd like the record to reflect that there'd be a request for 10 rather than the 7 to make sure that everybody is aware of that. And I will say at the peak of the employees being at these offices, I think there were 18 employees and there was still ample parking using that extra at that particular time. The impact that you'll have on even 10 rooms in this will be less than that. So if you really look at it, because if you're talking a family of two or four coming to occupy a room, you're not thinking in regards to a single employee being there that would be, like I said, at the peak time, 16 to 18 employees. So impact is lower. If you'll notice, too, when you watch the 360, there's only really one resident in the neighborhood, and they've been there, and they've been great neighbors for a long time. And you have commercial surrounding it, in addition to an adjoining property of about 15, 20 acres of a former and still could go back to that youth residential facility that's just right on the border of the property. So that's been part of the history of that for some time now. Any questions I might be able to address for you to explain any of that? Change-wise or original intent and the dual use.
I have
use.
One question.
Yes, Mr. Stewart?
You don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
Okay.
And it may not pertain to anything that amounts to anything.
Okay.
Is this to sell the house, or is the owner plan to actually convert it and do this operation?
Yes.
It's not just a sales thing.
It's a sale thing, too. It's to use it for a bed and breakfast.
So the owner that owns it now is going to change it?
No.
That answers your question.
There you go.
I think so.
Okay.
We're talking about 20.
But the owner could do it because that was the intent in 1995.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
That wasn't what it was okay to do.
But that's what.
Right.
But I'm not looking. I'm looking now, 1995.
Absolutely.
I'm looking now.
So we're talking about 22 people being there, right?
22 people, 10?
Yeah.
No, 10 rooms would be 20. Even the owner.
The people that,
no.
So we're talking about 10
no.
people, not
yes.
11.
No.
So you
were talking 10.
Okay.
Yeah, not 11.
Can you take your pointer and show me exactly where the property lines are there?
The property lines.
I think
there is a stake. I think property stake that goes right through here, and you see these cars that are parked goes back toward the corner that you basically can't see on this picture here, but about right there, and it comes to the back side of the lot and down toward the creek. Now, this was deeded by the owner to the county for sewer at the time of purchase, gratis. So that line goes directly into the back and intersects down here at the creek, and you can see a pile of rocks down toward the edge of the creek. Now, you know, this space is open space here. This is gravel for permeable surface that water runoff and everything can seep through that. These are paved areas in this particular area that would accommodate that parking along with this right here.
Yeah, see,
so
it doesn't show.
Yeah, it's not that large.
It's not that large.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, one of my questions is the county sewer property, it does not encroach on that ingress or egress on the lower side.
No,
it doesn't show.
Not at all, but that was that was given up when it was deeded over. It's only the line of it was the extent of this property. It was included in that acreage that this property sits on, and the owner deeded that to the county so that they could have that plant.
So were you proposing to put additional parking in there, or you just was describing?
We really don't need it.
Yeah,
you can ask staff. It's not needed. No exterior changes.
I'd like to clear up something. Why is it here since it's already in Division 3?
I just asked that question.
Change of use.
Change of use.
From an office to a bed and breakfast.
Well, let me ask Bob this. Are we going to start acting on every change in any time in Division 3 that we've approved, and somebody else buys it and puts something else in? Are those going to come back before the commission all the time? I thought that's one reason for having a commercial Division 3.
Rather than special use.
I think that's my hope long-term, and this may not...
Being conservative.
That's my hope long-term with the transition to traditional form of zoning.
This is why they're wanting to go to the other type of zoning. You want, Dave? Why they're wanting to change the zoning.
You missed that one.
You missed those, but that's... they're talking about going to what they call a more traditional type of zoning, which would... that would be one of the things that would be.
We've been talking about that since I've been on the commission.
Yeah.
I was with you.
I would like to see the only thing I would like to see.
In my opinion, since it's Division 3, he's got a right to do a bed and breakfast. That's what he's got. That's where I'm
probably has.
That's where I'm on.
Down to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why we're even looking at it.
And we haven't been bringing. Division 3s, when they change business in them, we haven't been acting on them. Are we going to start doing that? Anytime he changes business?
If it was a special use permit, I could see why they'd be here. But
Looking back at the history of it, it's not always been, and I hate to say this, but it's not been always consistent. I mean, sometimes...
This is true.
It's not bad to have... this come before. It's a good thing.
This is true.
It's a good thing. I've been there, done that.
This commission one time when I answered that it wasn't consistent.
I was going to say it's a little difficult to say that, but there is some truth to that.
Yes, there is.
At times historically, there has been more than one Division 3
permit. We still have a comment.
The only thing I would like to see is I would like to see an entrance and an exit. To where everybody had to come in one way and exit out the other, because you're going to have some trucks with trailers on them and with boat trailers. It's going to happen. They didn't come to the Tri-Lakes area to just stay in a bed and breakfast. And that's the only question that we have come up. Well, not coming from you.
Well.
And that's I would like to see an entrance and an exit that would cure that.
Now, when you're saying entrance and exit...
Well, you've got a circle drive.
Yes.
It is a circle drive.
It's a circle drive, goes all the way through.
So there wouldn't be a problem to do that.
No.
Everybody
in fact,
pointed the right direction.
As an office, they've had bob trucks in there backed up to this, which will no longer be used for that because it's shipping, and it has a 16-foot ceiling inside it. So the bob trucks will pull down here and back up to there. So
I would rather see if we, it's even debatable even if we need to make a decision. But if we had an entrance and an exit, and if we had the
You mean a designated entrance and exit?
Yes.
Yes, I hear what you're
saying. Basically a one-way
Yeah.
One way in or one way out. And there could be in the pavement. I don't think the owner would have any problem with that.
I wouldn't think it would.
Would be signage on each side with an arrow.
That would cure that back in the trailer, right? Because that's not a good location.
And I promise we won't come back and ask for a McDonald's.
I don't see why anybody would object to that, but you're right.
If anybody has driven by there, that's not a good place to pull in or out of. I mean, it's not.
Make it south to north.
There is more sight there than there is in any other driveway up and down there. Because once you get to the bottom or you get to that peak, we know where those kids are coming from.
Yeah.
So,
but that's the only thing I would like to put in is, since we're gonna probably proceed, we need to make that a decision of record.
Okay. No problem.
South to north.
Yes.
And the record to include the 10.
Yeah. We need to change that for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether we make
it. It still doesn't impact it.
But we have sent out the letters of notice have gone out and everything, and
nobody cares.
Is there anybody here that's joining? Or
no, they're in fact. I don't know if any of them are here.
The owner here.
Both of them here.
Obviously, it's not impacting the neighborhood enough for them to come say something.
Right.
No.
Condo's just down the hill, Kennecott.
Yeah.
It's not. But it is.
You got a bed and breakfast.
The road is the only thing that is concerned to me.
Yeah.
You know as well as
we can improve that then.
Yeah. We can change it a little bit.
Not a problem.
I put that in the decision.
I do have a question for Mr. Smalley, though. Is that hay still on your ceiling in your house?
I think it is.
Me and John Hart put that on there.
Did?
Yes, we did.
It's up there.
It's still there, huh?
We don't know what buzzard wants to come up and nest.
Anyway, that's the only question.
Any other questions?
No. Does anybody else want to speak? I mean, he's put a pretty good presentation on far.
Everybody else listens.
No, that didn't happen. Thank you, gentlemen.
Is this kind of like Judge Judy? She made up her mind, but somebody's still arguing?
I just want to say I appreciate each and every one of you.
I've been
there, done that for 6 years, and I know your job is not an easy one.
You just want to stay so you might do
it. I just got excited when Bonita called us up first, and I thought, man, well, this is going to be great.
Sorry, we didn't know
like Therese knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, no guns.
No guns?
Well, I won't say that. You know, if they got concealed carry, they can do what they want.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that they don't take into consideration on that tank.
What is that?
He owns 5 acres, and as long as he don't go commercial, he can shoot all the guns he wants
out
there.
We know that. We know that.
I know you're bringing that to the forefront. Yeah.
That's why I started reading a magazine out back.
Sir, did you have something you wanted to say?
Like to talk
yeah, about. Just very quickly, because I want to go home.
I'm done.
I'm Rob Robbins. I have this property listed for sale. I also represent the property next door. I've contacted 4 of the 5 neighbors, and they're all very positive and excited about it. Being there, it enhances their businesses. Their guests will be able to stay overnight. I think also consideration for best use of a property is my job, and that's your job, what we're supposed to do. This property is designed perfectly for a bed and breakfast, and nothing should be setting out. They have a big warehouse, if anything. So anyway, I just wanted to share with you that we've communicated with the neighbors, and that's why they're not here. So
that's good. That's a good way to approach it.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Okay, what else we got to do tonight?
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got to have to talk about tentative again.
Yeah, we got all the new business here, Hollister Recycling.
Yep, I actually brought up a couple of things, and this actually kind of goes back to the point that a few of the commission members were making earlier. We've got a property. And I'll just bring it up on here. I've got a property on Freeman Lane, and this, in all honesty, came up during the Board of Adjustment hearing. The last Board of Adjustment hearing, one member of the Board of Adjustment was quizzing me about this, and he said, well, the Hollister Recycling Center has moved out to this location on Freeman Lane and wanted to know why we weren't requiring a Division 3 permit for that move, for that relocation, for that business. Well, upon researching this, this building was built in 1975. It's been everything from a bread company to stove manufacturing to a church.
It's been commercial.
To ground source sale, heating and cooling sales, a gun shop, a carpet store, and I can't find any evidence that there's ever been a Division III. It's been basically a commercial business of one type or another since 1975, since the building was first constructed. But like I said, there was somewhat of a debate on the Board of Adjustment, so I thought I'm going to bring it before the Planning Commission. And my feeling was that it had been a multitude of commercial uses, and I didn't see a reason to require a Division III permit, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't off base.
Technically, they should have one, correct?
They already have one.
Yeah. Well, it's basically been a commercial business of one type or another.
But do they have a permit?
No. They don't, that I can find.
They probably ought to need,
would grandfather rules apply there?
The building was built in 75, and it's been, like I said, a little bit of everything since 1975.
Does it need one? And it does.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though it was built in 1975, right?
And I guess that's why.
You sure you want to kick that hornet's nest?
So that answers our question. It's pre-existing, non-conforming. So it does not need one.
No. I don't want to kick that hornet's nest.
I mean, it's good to go. Read the instructions.
Okay. And I've spoken with the property owners, and they're willing to go either way.
I told them
I would just come before the Planning Commission and just ask.
And this other thing is the food stand. Is that the one you were talking about last month about the guy wanted to set up there with the there at, when Harry Cooper was
he's looking at two potential locations. One is that Lloyd's Electric in their commercial parking lot. The other is exactly what you were saying. He's also looking at the possibility of just a driveway on a vacant piece of property just right down the road from Lloyd's. And I can't find historically where we've ever required a Division III permit for a food cart.
Should be a $5 vendor's license, shouldn't it?
Well, in the county.
If you get permission to park there and you got a vendor's license, I don't.
Well, another thing he wants to check on, there's a 150-foot state driveway where that driveway turns in.
Where the trucks park?
That's where they park the trucks a lot of times.
He'll have to go past that state driveway if he sets up there.
Go past it.
Mm-hmm. But,
I feel like if he sets up on Lloyd's, he don't need a thing.
No.
He's
going to need customers.
Lot. Yeah.
It's the same thing. He needs to be on a commercial piece of property.
And is that the consensus if he does decide to locate, and he wants to do this daily, if he does decide to locate on the vacant piece of property?
He can't do it in the state right-of-way. Is it his property?
Yeah.
Is the vacant property his?
No, he's wanting to approach the property owner is what he's indicated.
Well, he's turning that property owner place then into needing a special use permit then.
Yeah.
He needs to go to a commercial piece of property that's existing and go on their parking lot because they've already got a permit.
That's what I've really recommended to him.
On Freeman and
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That piece of property.
I pulled it up, but I don't.
Steve, what's his name from Tri-Lakes used on it.
Woods.
Steve Woods used on it.
See, I don't know if he owns that up there.
I don't know. I pulled it. Well,
I don't know whether he ever got rid of it, but he owned it one time.
I think so.
You're. Let's see.
But see, the city bought a lot of that, and I don't know what.
It's
who owns that up in there.
I can tell you real quick.
But the city.
Yeah, when they put that kind of that industrial park area kind of in there, they kind of.
Yeah, but that's not in the city.
No,
it should.
That's what I thought.
It shows now that it's owned by Shelby. Blue Trust.
Shelby Blue.
But yeah, that's who the
Baloo.
That's who that shows it under now.
Oh, there we are.
I don't know who that is.
I'm making a motion to adjourn.
Can I have a motion we adjourn. Any more business, Bob?
Can I hit you up on just a couple others?
Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
Super quick. I've got a gentleman that has what he's saying is a $70 million project. He is asking...
$7 million or
70? $70 million.
His name's Jim Shapiro?
He's from Washington State. And he is past the deadline to get on the concept hearing for April. He is asking if there's any way he can be placed on the on basically next Monday's agenda as a concept hearing.
Can your office meet the legalities of it?
Can they meet the mailing?
Okay, you can't do it then.
We can still do the mailing because the mailing doesn't go out till after the concept hearing.
What have we got next time?
Because we don't ever send the... But I wanted to bring it to this board. I just told him I'd bring it to the commission. And
What is the reasoning then?
Maybe put it off till he gets it all right.
Why isn't it here? I mean, what, now, did he just all of a sudden decide to spend $70 million?
Yeah,
now, sure. Now, what he's indicating, and I don't, I'm just relaying what he's indicated to me on the phone. He's indicating to me that this money is coming from overseas, and that he has to show proof that the zoning has been approved within a certain time period in order to receive the funds.
And he's turned just like everybody else does.
And your failure to plan ahead does not constitute an emergency for me.
Well, and that was kind of my feeling, but I finally told him I'd bring it to the...
Concept here is going to take longest? Branson Canyon, Apex Firearms? Are these lengthy deals here, any of these? I haven't looked at this packet yet.
We do have one that's potentially pretty lengthy. Let's see.
He's the one that keeps talking.
I think that was on the floor.
Somebody's second.
In all honesty, probably the Kenny Bear Event Center is probably going to be a lengthy proposal. It has a high likelihood to be.
Well, how long would it be putting this guy off if we make him go through the regular channel?
He'll basically be put out a month.
Yeah.
He'll essentially be put out 30 days.
I would think a project with that much money being involved, a timing would not be.
That was my feeling as well.
We can't bend the rules for everybody.
The greater the money, the lesser the chance.
Yeah. My recommendation. Is that he goes through the normal.
Told you he wants to do a racetrack, it's already there.
Yeah, unless he wants to do a racetrack.
Somebody get that thing off it.
I will second that motion.
Okay.
All in favor, stand up.
We're good.
Thank you. That was my feeling, but I right or wrong, he just.